win so much. We're going to have win after win after win. You people are going to get sick and tired of winning. You're going to say, please, please, President Trump, we can't take this much victory. Please stop. We don't want any more wins. And I'm going to say to you, we're going to win. I don't care what you say. We're going to make our country great again. We're going to win. We're going to win. And we're going to win.
All right, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. That was Trump on the campaign trail. And, well, how do you think he's been doing? We'll talk about that. In the meantime, you know the phone number, 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. And, of course, Sam at SamNation.com if you want to send me something or tell me that I'm wrong or that I'm right or something that I'm missing, perhaps. Okie dokie. Let's move right along to this. I'm going to tell you exactly why the left and the the left and the extreme left has become completely unhinged. And you know who's, you know, Scott Adams, the guy, the Dilbert guy. Yeah, so he wrote an essay about this. He's got a theory that basically Trump is putting so much. He's doing so much, you know, this winning, right? He's laying down so many different things that are obviously antagonizing leftists and purported moderates, but it's really the leftists. He's doing so many things to just, he's overwhelming them. It's a deliberate strategy. This, according to Scott Adams, he's doing so many things that they don't even know what to respond to, what to tackle. You remember the invasion of Iraq? Remember Rumsfeld, defense secretary under George W. Bush? He got up there and he called it, what do you call it? Remember? Shock and awe. And that was his term, which we all thought was very cool at the time, right? Remember that? We thought it was really cool because he was getting up. He was basically saying, look, what we're going to do, what the military is going to do is they're going to come in and they are going to bomb the hell all around Baghdad, sustained on and on for hours, if not days. And the enemy, right, the Iraqi government, the military is just going to be completely shell-shocked by it. They won't even know what to do. Well, I think it is. It's almost a military operation. You might as well, you know, I don't know, maybe Bannon, maybe it's Mad Dog Mattis that's sitting in the inner circle because it is absolutely a sustained barrage. It's exactly what I told you. I said this leading up to the inauguration. I said Trump has it ready to go. He's got his agenda ready. Because we heard little rumblings. We heard little mentions of, he's sitting down with his team and they're writing out executive orders. This stuff didn't happen in the last 11 days. This stuff was ready to go when they walked into the White House. The executive branch was ready to move. Got sworn in and bam. And if you think, absolutely. Let's talk about some of the stuff, right? I mean, so you, well, the travel ban, right? We got the wall. The wall's, like, they're hot and heavy on it. They're moving forward. The Homeland Security guy is saying, what he's got, two years, he's saying it could be built? So they're moving on it. They're dead serious. It's happening. He then proceeds to lay down this beautiful nuclear bomb on the Democrats. Neil Gorsuch, right? The guy, the judge that he has is appointing to the Supreme Court. Everybody, categorically, I'm telling you, even the never Trumpers, the conservative, die in the wold Reaganites, neocons, hated Trump, loathed him, wrote essays in opposition to Trump. They are at best happy. And I would say, you know, most of them are besides themselves, are ecstatic, okay? But again, what does this mean? It means Trump is shoring up his base. He's shoring up a base that wasn't even with him in the election. These are people who, in many cases, voted against him. and with their opinions, with their essays, with their TV appearances, with their radio programs. I'm telling you, this was a headwind for Trump in the primaries and lost him many, many votes because these are people who are very influential. Well, National Review, for one, right? I mean, they devoted an entire issue fighting Trump. And now all the writers are over there falling over themselves because they love what's happening. EPA, Scott Pruitt, Democrats are literally crapping bricks right now. Okay? Bricks. Why? Because speaking of bricks, Scott Pruitt is intent on dismantling the EPA brick by brick. He's on the record saying, I want to take the agency apart. And Trump's getting him through. And what did the Democrats do? Petulant little children. What did they do? They didn't even show up. Okay, so you know how it is. At first, you got to get the guy approved, get the cabinet secretary approved in the appropriate committee, which is a panel of the Senate. And you've got Republicans and Democrats that sit on the committee. And then you have a up or down vote in the Senate. All the senators vote. So you kind of think of it like round one and round two. Well, in the round one, they were holding hearings and the Democrats couldn't figure out. They ran out of questions to ask. So they just didn't show up. They were, you know, hey, you know, we got 230. You know, we got to approve this Pruitt guy. And we need the Democrats to vote on it. And they just didn't show up. You saw pictures of an empty, you got five Republicans sitting there and five empty chairs where the Democrats are supposed to sit. Childish. Vote no. I mean, just vote no. If you don't like the guy, vote no. It's obstructionist. It's silly. It's stupid. It's lame. Whatever word you want to use. But it's typical, okay? So what do the Republicans do, of course? They, you know, with Trump wind in their sails, what do? They just say, oh, we're going to change the rules. Democrats, if members don't show up, then we can just vote without them. Done. Next. Tillerson, he's in. Whole Senate voted through. I mean, the left is nut. They're going crazy, right? Let me tell you. Your Facebook feed probably looks something like Berkeley did this morning. Okay? Still, mine is smoldering, literally. And periodically with flames of fire shooting through it. So, okay, so what else we got? Ban on lobbying, right? He's already draining the swamp. 5 years, 5 year ban. He kept jobs in the U.S., Ford, Carrier, all that jazz. He finally, Trump right away pumps some life into and saves Keystone and Dakota pipelines from going, belly up. Killed Obamacare fines, killed Obamacare boundaries right between states. We talk about that. And then he's gone on a firing spree, which, by the way, you have to do when you want to clean house. The greatest obstacle in any case, in any event, right, when you've got, okay, you know this, right? Bush came in the office. The whole bureaucracy was staffed by Clinton people. And Bush was plagued nice guy. And he kept people in senior positions because he wanted to be bipartisan and he was going to be the big, I'm going to be the compassionate conservative. Remember all that crap? And so he kept people in the State Department, he kept people at the Attorney General's office. He kept all these people who obstructed what he wanted to do every step of the way. So what happens? We were on air when it was happening the other night, Monday night. We're on air and boom, they got that attorney general, acting attorney general, who was left over, an Obama appointee. And she writes this, I cannot in good conscience support this victory. Crap. And what does Trump do? He doesn't mealy mouth about it at all. What does he say? He says, let's hear it. You're fired. That's right. So, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's time for you, if you're a Democrat, if you're a leftist, okay, and you're trying to figure Trump out. You got to get beyond just the characterization of who Trump is. Because the characterization in large part is self-created and intended by none other than Mr. Trump himself, is intended to deceive you. Let me explain what I mean by that. Speaking of your fire, the best way to explain it is The Apprentice, because today The Apprentice was in the news. You saw the prayer breakfast thing. You saw, all right, well, I will tell you something about that prayer breakfast thing where the Schwarzenegger spat back and forth that you won't hear anywhere else. Because it was deliberate on both of their parts. It's a game. And I'll tell you exactly about it. So Trump, by the way, I don't know how it is now with his divestments, but he owns or owned at one point 50% of The Apprentice. And do you know how that came about? Well, this is classic Trump. So Mark Burnett, you know, Mark Burnett made a killing off of Survivor. He's the producer of Survivor. Very popular show, made millions of dollars. But he had to travel all around the world. He was always gone. He had little kids in New York, and he goes, you know, finally goes home between seasons, and his son says, Dad, I don't even remember what you look like. And it killed him. Can you imagine? I mean, as a father, I mean, horrible, right? So he goes, I got to create a show, a Survivor-type show, here at home in New York City. And he's walking through, and he sees the Woolman Ice Rink, the ice skating rink in New York that Trump saved. Remember, this is the thing that the city spent $12 million on. City of New York, right? Run by Democrats. Classic. $12 million, 6 years, didn't get anywhere. The thing was falling apart. Trump comes in, you know, on time, under budget, you know, there it is. Bam. But of course, it's Trump. So he puts his giant face on the Zamboni. And Burnett's walking along, and he sees Trump's face on the Zamboni. And he's like, that's what I need to do. So he sets an appointment, makes an appointment with Trump, goes into Trump's office. The meeting lasts an hour. And Trump, he didn't watch reality TV. He said it was basically, it's for bottom feeders. But he listens to his pitch, and he loved it. He went with a gut instinct. He goes, I think that this can succeed. So on a handshake, negotiates 50%, some terms, basic, you know, thumbnail sketch of what the show would be like. And by the time they sold it to, they got NBC on board and everything, what happened is it was always intended to be a show about the contestants and never about Trump. But Trump stole the show. He got in there. That line, you're fired, he ad-libbed it. It wasn't even in the script. But everybody loved it. He totally took the show over. But Trump feels a particular pride about The Apprentice. You know, remember how obsessed he was with ratings? All the polls during the election. And about numbers, you know, all the people at his inauguration. Remember how testy he got about that? Well, Trump's a business guy. So The Apprentice was his big first foray into entertainment. I mean, he was known before, but always sort of a cameo actor and here and there. But he was kind of a society guy, but not a serious, you know, media star. And so when you've got a business person, and I know this because when you own a business, you look at numbers, you look at data, you have to be governed by that. It's called reality. And so more so than your average person doing show business, he was ratings obsessed. He would go in every day and obsess about his ratings. What are my ratings? What were they today? Are they going up? He was really proud of his ratings. He would always talk about that in interviews. And that's what a lot of people say about him, why he was so obsessed about those numbers and figures in the campaign. And even since then. Because that's his measure of performance, just like it is in a business. Look, you know, 1 year you made X dollars, and next year you made X plus, you know, 10%. That's called progress. You can measure it. Of course, people these days don't like to measure anything. You know, it's all about feelings and other BS type of stuff like that. So I bring all this up only to say Trump cares about The Apprentice. Now, enter the prayer breakfast today. Oh, the left is making so much fun of him. They're just hearty, har, har. There goes Trump. What a dumbo. And I'm listening to this, and I'm going, so what? You know what happened? Okay, so here's what Trump says. Play the tape. Here's what Trump
says. They hired a big, big movie star, Arnold Schwarzenegger, to take my place. And we know how that turned out. And I want to just pray for Arnold, if we can, for those ratings, okay?
He's doing that at the prayer breakfast, and everybody's up in arms about it. Okay, and Schwarzenegger ostensibly, it sounds so, you know, spontaneous. Doesn't skip a beat, and he comes out with this little video. By the way, he looks terrible in it. But he comes out with this little video of him at home somewhere in his pajamas on Twitter, and this is what he says.
Donald, I have a great idea. Why don't we switch jobs? You take over TV because you're such an expert in ratings, and I take over your job, and then people can finally sleep comfortably again.
Okay. So everybody's talking about this, like, ha, zing, Schwarzenegger, you sure got him, you know, whatever. You guys, get it? This is a stunt. They're driving. Trump cares about Apprentice succeeding. He loves this show. This show made him. This show is the show that connected him with the American people. This is the show that put him in the White House. It is not just a vanity project. It is a part of him. And regardless of what his ownership interest in it, he's going to promote it. And so he's promoting it. And he's playing us all for fools. Well, not you and I, because, you know, we're here on this program. You're getting the straight scoop. All right. Back with more fun stuff and a little Love Nation. When we come back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KPC.
Call now. Call me if you're interested.
What's your phone number?
800-ABC-KABC.
Ask for the phone number, not the phone letters.
That's 800-222-5222.
Thank you.
All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC, and here we go. Talking about, so this issue with the Apprentice, this nonsense with Trump at the prayer breakfast, back and forth, tit for tat with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're playing us. Okay, it's plain and simple. Trump cares about the Apprentice, and nobody was interested in Schwarzenegger doing it. By the way, I honestly think people. Yeah, you know what? It's worse than Trump just stepping away from the show, because people tuned in to watch The Apprentice to see Trump. And just like I was saying earlier, NBC, right, they saw how good Trump was on screen and decided to keep him all the way through the show. They were going to bring in Mark Cuban and some other, you know, big shot guys to do subsequent seasons, but totally bailed on the idea. So people, they wanted to see Trump, but now we can see Trump all the time. We get Trump 24/7. He's all over TV screens everywhere, anywhere. So no wonder the original show that was so Trump dependent, you know, now has Arnold on it. And so Trump is boosting it. That's all it is. Him and Arnold are playing each other. Don't be fooled. Now, by the way, that whole bit about, you know, about Trump being ratings obsessed, which he certainly was, and then polls obsessed during the campaign. And then, you know, how many people came to my inauguration obsessed, right? This is good. Look, if you want him to be the guy that gets stuff done, okay? So maybe you're not one of those people at Berkeley, you know, burning the school down. But you, if you're one of those people that are hoping that he gets stuff done, and the exhaustive list I read last segment of just all the stuff he's getting to, you'll see if you're on board with that, you kind of want a guy that's trying to measure performance. And that's almost the impression I get with the frenetic pace that he's leading. He is absolutely intent on getting stuff done in a measurable way. And it's not bad. I mean, it's not bad. Certainly not bad from where I'm sitting. You know, I have no problems with it. You know what's also not bad from where I'm sitting? Valentine's Day. It's coming. I need to warn you about that, don't I? Well, so the program on Valentine's Day, I'm going to be up in LA. I'm going to leave the safety and security of Orange County. I'm going to travel right through the Orange Curtain, come up to the studio, and I'm going to take your call. I'm going to take calls, everything. But not politics, mind you, because that day on Valentine's Day, February 14th, guys, it's February 14th, public service. On that day, this show's not going to be Sam Nation. It's going to be Love Nation. And that's right. I'm going to be giving maybe not so great love advice. Now, I'm a lawyer, okay? So you trust me on that. But I'm not a trained psychologist. I'm not, you know, I'm not licensed to do this. But, you know, Well, you know what? They say, give you an example. You know, a guy and a girl are dating. And the girl says, oh, you know, there's these problems in the relationship. There, you know, he just doesn't like me anymore. It's not the same. Maybe, you know, the intimacy thing is kind of on the, you know, on the decline. You know, and I hear that. See, everybody else hears that. And I overhear occasionally people getting advice. And it's just terrible because they'll say, oh, you know, you need to talk more and you need to make time and go on dates. And I listen to something like that, and the first thing I want to know is how many cheeseburgers have you had in the last week? Because that really could be contributing to some of the problem. Well, Robbie, do you disagree? I mean, Ashley, what about if I get a woman's advice? What do you think? You're nodding. Okay, see, now there it is. Cheeseburgers have destroyed many a good... Well, also can build up a relationship, though, too. You know, if you like a good In-N-Out burger and that's your thing. I will find out. I will ask you all the right questions and get right down to the point. Now, you got to see this on Facebook. On our Facebook, we got a great new promo for it, and it's all up in there. And I actually even have a kiss on my cheek, so you can check that out. Just posted, fresh, hot off the presses, so to speak. All right, Love Nation. It'll be on February 14th. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. We got John Wolf with the news next. See you soon. Bye.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
And you are tuned in live to Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you from an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. That's right. And we are engaged currently. All of us here in the studio, right? We're all making radio great again. Woo! All right, so what about this Gorsuch pick? But how do you pronounce his name, first of all? Gorsuch? Probably they would do that in German. Gorsuch. I think people are saying Gorsuch. It's not as funny as people trying to pronounce Milo Yiannopoulos, though. You know, Milo, you know, the Breitbart tech editor, the gay guy who's very flamboyant, very conservative, very blonde, and I think pretty good looking. Can I say that? I think he's a good looking guy. Robbie says it's correct. So, I mean, he's an expert. So I'll tell you, but he went to Berkeley and Berkeley literally almost burned to the ground. But everybody today has been trying to pronounce Milo Yiannopoulos. I think Brett Baer on Fox News said Milo. He said Milo. It's not Milo. It's Milo. Milo Yiannopoulos. So there you can impress all of your friends by correctly pronouncing Breitbart's agent provocateur in chief. Okie dokie. So Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. Is he going to make it? Okay, hold on. I don't know if I can find any tea leaves in my coffee mug here. I'm looking. Yes. The answer is yes. He is going to make it on. Now, everything that happens from between now and his appointment to the bench and his confirmation, ultimate confirmation, is all nothing more than Democratic Party charades. Let's hear what some of these clowns are saying. Feinstein, our own senator from California, this is her pronouncement on Gorsuch.
This Congress needs to stand on its own. We are a separate branch of government, and I don't want to see the Senate of the United States bow down to an executive demand like this.
I don't even know what that means. Notice she really didn't say anything. This is smart politics, okay? You say a lot of words, and nobody really knows what you meant. She's probably going to vote against him. Well, that's true. And you could almost say that's Obama's entire presidency. Oh, well, good. So Feinstein. Yes, of course, the Senate does play a role, advice and consent to the president. So they have to consent to the pick. Okay, great. Thank you. Schumer, who is the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, this guy, by the way, but let's play the tape and I'll tell you what else he said.
Given that record, I have very serious doubts that Judge Neil Gorsuch is up to the job.
I think it's Gorsuch. This is Gorsuch is what he said. Well, I think Schumer thinks he's Gorsuch because he said, I'm not even going to meet with him. And this is a little tit for tat again with the Democrats are playing because, you know, they're all bum hurt that, you know, that goober, that garlic guy, garlic or Garland, Garland. Why? Well, just go with garlic. So, Judge Garlic, nobody on the Republican side would meet with him. Nobody. Because it was the last year of Obama's presidency. Obama was a lame duck. You know, they weren't going to do anything. They were going to leave it either for Trump or for Hillary. And so here is what then Elizabeth Warren, who was one of the most unhinged people in the U.S. Senate, and that's saying something, said about Gorsuch.
For more than a decade, he has twisted himself into a pretzel to make sure that the rules favor giant companies over workers and individual Americans.
Twisted himself into a pretzel. He's a constitutionalist. He's a plain and everybody, even all the people in the Federalist are loving this guy. Me personally, I love this pick. I am absolutely enthused about it. Everybody I'm talking to that matters in this whole thing loves the pick, is very excited about it. And as far as Elizabeth Warren, what does an Indian know about a pretzel? I have pretzels, you know, those, what do they have? Thanksgiving feast. Oh, here, we bring you pretzels. No, I don't think that's how it went down at all. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
Well, Sam Rogowski here behind the Sam Nation microphone in the Sam Nation studios deep within Orange County, behind enemy lines, one could say. Actually, no, I'm safely outside of enemy territory. Hey, did you hear about this Amtrak train crash? This happened a while back. Philadelphia. Anyway, they finally discovered that the engineers, the train engineers, and two members of a railway work crew were all high on different drugs. That's right. One had marijuana, one had cocaine, and another one had some pain pills. This is just, I always wonder, how do you crash something that's on a rail? I mean, it's not even... You know, it's not like driving through Koreatown, okay? All bets are off when you do that. So, but here it's a freaking track. It's a track. It goes it this way, that way. All you have to do is operate the speed. And the rest should work itself out. Anyway, yeah, that's right. So this is what happens. These guys get high on drugs and take your lives into their own hands. And we know this, right? This happens even out on the road. People, you know, buy dogs that are vicious and want to, you know, bite you in various places that you don't want to be bitten. And so for all of these type of events occurring, what do you need? Well, you got to keep Sweet James's phone number handy, right? 800-881-2021. You hear me saying it all the time. 1-800-881-2021. That's the number you call when you get into trouble, somebody hits you, train derails, anything like that happens, some idiot harmed you. Make sure that idiot pays. Make sure their insurance company, you know, turns its pocket inside out and gets you the justice that you deserve. All right. Call my friend Sweet James. He's the guy to talk to. He's the attorney we trust here on the program. And he's your attorney, you know, when you need him. So 1-800-881-2021 or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All righty. Having more fun than we should be allowed to have here. Talking about the Trumpster. Hurricane Trump roaring through and adding just one more thing for the Democrats to foam at the mouth about, and that is this Neil Gorsuch pick. Now, Well, all right, so let's do this right now. Listen, Rick, I got a minute. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Rick, hey, man, okay. How are you?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Good. Now, Rick, you've called before. I know you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You're trusty and reliable here. How you been?
I'm doing my best. I'm good. I'm wanted to comment about the demos going nuts here about the Gorsuch selection, and he's going to be approved. I mean, it's a dog and pony show, man. It's an absolute dog and pony show for their constituents. Feinstein, she's a blowhard. I wouldn't even listen to her anymore. You're right. She makes absolutely no sense. But Chuckie Schumer, to try to intimate that he's not qualified, I'm going, oh, wait, hold on here. You know he's qualified. He's overqualified. He's so qualified, it's pathetic. So, you know, don't be a fool. Don't go that route.
Well, you know that Chuck Schumer and Feinstein and all these people, you know, they gave him, they all voted for him. They all put him on the Court of Appeals. They all gave him a voice vote, which means, there's no dissenting voices. But, of course, back then, Trump hadn't picked him, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you are correct. They can't say how ticked off they are that, you know, Hillary or Obama didn't have the chance to select that Chief Justice, right?
That's so the point. Hold on. I want to interrupt you. But that is exactly the point. Yeah. This is exactly the point of all of this. And this is why I wanted to take your call so badly.
Okay.
Listen, the issue is that you have the Democrats all the way through this thought they had the election in the bag. They all smugly, well, they didn't listen to this program, right? So that's the thing, Rick. They should have tuned in, because I would have told them they were in trouble. But from the beginning, they thought that Hillary was a shoo-in. It was done, sealed, everything fine. And they didn't fight the garland. But anyway, they didn't fight to get him on the court. They just sort of said, let the Republicans do what they're going to do, because we're going to get him in when Hillary's president. And that didn't happen. Rick, always good to talk to you, man. Hang in there, bud. And we will be back right after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, back again. And now, look, I got to give you an update, an Obama vacation update. Okay, they're back somewhere, I think East Coast. I think they're in D.C. I don't know exactly where they're landed, but I was waiting for this with bated breath. They left Richard Branson's private island on Richard Branson's private jet, and are headed back to the U.S. No word on if Obama is going to face any complications with the new travel ban. We will now see. We were going to test the metal of that birth certificate and see if it passes muster. I'm also a little bit jealous because he gets to fly on Branson's awesome plane. I have jet envy. Can I say that? Yeah, well, oh, and by the way, Sam Nation 1, a.k.a. Sam Force 1, is down right now for an AB check. So she's taken, you got to do this with airplanes. You got to take them down. So, you know, it's pretty invasive. They take apart a lot of the components, make sure everything works. All to ensure that I, your host, remain alive on my next trip. What goes up must come down, and preferably in a controlled manner. So, So I am grounded for the time being. And while Obama's flying on this fancy jet, it reminds me of some other story that I picked up. Here, I've got it deep in my stack of stuff. Here it is. There's a company in Colorado that is announcing, it's called Boom. The company's called Boom. And it's nothing to do with terrorism. It is all about this new Concorde that they're building, a new supersonic jet. It's supposed to be more cost-effective, faster. It's supposed to reduce the sonic boom that the old Concorde had. It's very exciting. I see this decade coming up as one of progress. Because I think about every time I get in the airplane, I always think this is such antiquated technology when you think about it. My grandfather, I was born in 1980. My grandfather was born in 1908, you know, just so we always joked, you know, it's reversed. And my grandfather, when he was born, it was horse and buggy with a sprinkling of automobile. And by the time he passed, we had a man, you know, man on the moon, you know, we had space shuttles, we had supersonic jet travel. And I look at it and I go, look, when did the first, I'm an aviation buff. It's something I enjoy. So I'll tell you, 1949, the de Havilland Comet had a little problem. It would explode from time to time. So they decommissioned it. But it was the first time there was a passenger jet. That's like a long time ago. And the paradigm in jet travel hasn't changed in all that time. So it's time for something new. You know, I look at, I love Hawaii Five-0, the original Hawaii Five-0, and you look at that show and you know, they're, whoa, look at the 707, the Boeing, you know, we're traveling across we're getting to Hawaii in 5.5 hours. I'm thinking, man, these people are all dead, and it still takes me the same amount of time to get to Hawaii as they were flying around. It's time for something new, and I love that it's an American company. And I love that we have a president who is going to do everything to make sure that they succeed and remain competitive. Love it. And they're doing it in Colorado and not California, which, you know, duh. Who would ever want to start a company in California? Anyway, we're going to be back tomorrow night at 7. Let's do this. Let's have a great day. See you tomorrow. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. I'm gonna win big. Choose not the life of imitation. Distant substitute the reservation.